And so be thinking about Jesus as we look at Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 45. Next week, we're going to look at Zechariah's song, which is verses 67 to 79, what we call the Benedictus. These names for these, like the Magnificat, which we use today, they're Latin names, which come from the ancient history of the church. Way back in the days, some of us remember that when some, like the Catholic Church, all the services were in Latin. And that's the way it was everywhere, back when there was Catholic and Protestants were together, and then things separated out. But that's where this name comes from, and the others are from the ancient history of the church, and have been celebrated for a very long time. So if you have it in front of you, I'd like to read that in unison, that is everyone together. How many of you have a Pew Bible or a New International Version in front of you? Enough of you? Okay, some of you getting it? Okay, so this is on page 1457. And I'd like to read verses 46 to 55 all together. So if you have that, please read with me. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised our ancestors." And please keep your Bible open to those words, and let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are here this morning because You came. We're so grateful for this, Your Word, that You left behind, so that under the inspiration of Your Spirit, that we would know what happened when You came. But we believe that You are here with us now through Your Spirit. And so would You bring these words alive? May we hear from You and You alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this famous prisoner by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, imprisoned by the Nazis some years ago. And he was engaged to be married. As he sat in his prison cell, it was Christmas time, what we call Advent, which has to do with the first coming of Jesus. And he said to his fiancée, he said, "You know, this prison door reminds me a lot of Advent." He said, "There's nothing I can do to open that door. I'm just sitting here waiting, really doing nothing but waiting for that door to open." He said, "So I'm totally helpless." He said, "I'm just waiting for it to open. I'm hoping it'll open. I'm hoping one day that it'll open and give me freedom from this prison cell." And isn't that the way that Advent is? Isn't that the way that it was for Mary? A Mary who was young and poor and from a little village, who was locked into a situation that was not of her choosing. She was in a country that was occupied, that was defeated. She was utterly dependent upon God, hearing her prayers and the prayers of God's people for deliverance, waiting for that door to open. And isn't it that way for us? As we are here, we might be young like Mary, we might be older like Elizabeth or others in this story. We're from a variety of situations, but like Mary, we're in a world that's beyond our control, a world that, like in Mary's day, is a mess. And we're totally dependent upon God to come and to open the door and to give us mercy and hope. God did open the door for Mary that first Christmas. And so Mary said, she said, "I magnify the Lord." Those words are from some of the older versions. The newer ones say, she glorified or she praised the Lord in our Pew Bible. But it is a proper rendering. It's a little bit older language. But she said, "I magnify the Lord." And I think of, you know, what it might be like if we had a magnifying glass. And say I was to take that magnifying glass on something very small, one of these little pieces of dirt or of hay in this little manger. If I took a magnifying glass and I took that little speck of hay, all of a sudden it would be huge. It's like, oh, look at that. Look at what that is made of. And we'd see all kinds of things made much, much larger and helping us to see clearer and helping us to see beyond what we could see. And as Mary looked at what God was doing for her, she said, "I magnify the Lord. The Lord is much, much greater than I realize that He is." She said, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Savior meaning my deliverer, my hero that's coming onto the planet. He cares about me. He cares about His people. He cares about these prayers that God's people have had for all of the centuries. And the Mighty One has done great things for me. His name is holy. That means it's set apart. There's nothing like His name. His name is the greatest, greater than any name that might be in lights. She said, greater than the emperor in her day, greater than the high priest, greater than the greatest person in her town. She said, His name is holy. That means it's set apart. It's totally unique. But notice what it is that makes Him great in her eyes. He made the world. He did all kinds of things, of great things. He shaped the planets. But what makes His name holy for her is His greatness that is proven through mercy. I've been reading a book with a bunch of pastors that talks. It's a way of defending our faith, of sharing our faith with others. And one of the things that stood out to me in this week's reading was a quote from Shakespeare, of all places. And what Shakespeare said is that the greatness of a king is seen in his mercy. So think about it. Our king, our president, showed mercy to a turkey. Okay, and I think, and that shows his greatness, okay, I suppose, okay. But then at the end of the year, I think it is that our president often will show mercy to some criminals, right? Or to people that have done bad things, and they show mercy because that is in the power of a king. And Shakespeare says that's the greatest proof of a king's power. That's how he shows how wonderful he is. And so, a principal, you know, who has, or a teacher that might have a student that's just not quite getting over the line and wants to get that B instead of a C or an A instead of a B or whatever it might be. And it's up to the principal or to the teacher to sometimes, and we're saying, yes, 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 be merciful, please be merciful. And they are. Or a parent. Who, you know, their kid's giving them a hard time. Maybe they should get a coal in their stocking. But instead, the parent is merciful. And that's in their powerful power to be merciful and say, okay, we're going to give you something better than coal, something nice, this Christmas season. And that's the way that God is in sending Jesus. Mary didn't know what was going on. She didn't know everything that was coming. But the greatest expression of the mercy of God is that He was answering these prayers and He was sending His Son to this poor young gal whose prayer He had heard. Mary says, you know, I see this mercy of God. And she said, one of the reasons is because He sees me. Nobody knows me. I'm a nobody. They don't know who I am in Jerusalem, never mind in Rome. She said, but my God sees me. She says, from now on, every generation is going to call me blessed. Now, we have a reading this morning that a number of our women, that talks about God's mercy to women throughout the centuries. These are Bible women, and there are seven of them, the last one being Mary. And Colton is going to bring a mic around. First one, I believe, is next to him. And so if you would just maybe stand where you are, if you're able, and read that. And the first one is Sarah, and then there are a number of others.
I'm Sarah, bitter and barren, burnt out by this promise that never came, worn out from waiting, laughing to hide the aching, longing for these empty arms to hold a baby. But oh, how could that be?
I am Tamar, tired of trying so hard, pushed away, cast aside, left with no one to provide, longing for these wrongs to be made right. But oh, how could that be?
I am Rahab, used and abused, body broken, soul bruised, working late into the night, weary just trying to survive, and longing for some good to come from this tattered life. But oh, how could that be?
I am Ruth, grieved and alone, left with nothing, far from home, back breaking, heart aching, leaving so much behind, longing to start a new life, but oh, how could that be?
I am Bathsheba, angry and ashamed. It was never supposed to be this way. Years of resentment, tears of regret, longing for this story to be redeemed. But oh, how could that be?
I am Elizabeth, washed up and nearly to the end, disappointed again and again and again, wanting things to finally change, wondering if it is too late, longing for faith to still believe, but oh, how could that be?
I am Mary, overwhelmed and afraid, young and small and anything but brave. I had plans, I had dreams, but now everything has changed, and I don't know if I'll have what it takes. But I do know I'll trust you anyway. Oh, Abba, why me? Oh, Abba, how will this be?
For behold, she who was said to be barren has conceived. And she who nearly lost hope still believed. And she who was worn out from waiting held a baby. And she who was grieved, her story was redeemed. And she who was broken was honored and healed. God saw Sarah, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, Elizabeth, and Mary. He saw these women in centuries when nobody saw women. They were invisible. And our merciful God saw these women, and he sees us today. He sees women today. He sees men today whom nobody sees. He sees people with a lot. He sees people with a little. He sees people with with one color of skin and people with another color of skin. He saw people in the past. He sees people in the present. He sees us where we may think that nobody sees us, that we just feel invisible, like nobody cares, like nobody knows. But our God sees us. He recognizes us. He sees our need. Blessed is she, the poet wrote. Blessed is he, we would include. But there's further proof, Mary says, that our God is great, that our God is to be magnified. And that is that God makes everything right. Imagine, if you would, that that you got home today, and maybe you got a room full of kids, but and someone knocks at the door, and they bring you a plate of Christmas cookies, and everybody else is in the other part of the room, but the littlest one is there, and they see the Christmas cookies up on the table, and they climb up on the table, and they start scarfing them down one after another after another. What's a good mom or a good dad going to do at that point? Going to pull them from the table and say, wait a minute. Those cookies are for everybody in this house. And if it was like the house that we raised our kids in, the mom would say, okay, two apiece or one apiece or however they are, or one and a half apiece, this is all going to be fair. And Mary looks at the life that she is part of. She looks at the world that she is in. And she says, my God is dethroning rulers. The guys and gals that are in charge, he is dethroning. He's taking them off the throne. He's lifting up the humble and knocking down the proud. The ones that don't have enough to eat, spiritually and physically, emotionally, the ones that are just starving with hunger, he is filling their stomachs. And the wealthy, he said, those that have everything but don't care about him, she says, he is sending away empty. She says his mercy is extending to all of those who fear him. From generation to generation to generation to generation, his promises are good. He did promise that when we were cursed, that he would crush the serpent's head. He promised when, after he judged the world with a flood, that he would never again send a flood to destroy the earth. After we rebelled against him, and we at the Tower of Babel, and he scattered, gave everybody, and scattered the nation, scattered people all over the world because they refused to unite in praise to him, but instead wanted to praise themselves. He called a man named Abraham and said that he would bless all of the nations of the world through him and through his descendants. And he will not forget his promises, Mary said. I see that he remembers. He hasn't forgotten. His word is as good as gold. Not long ago, we got a call from our son on the West Coast. And he said he'd gotten a call from the church treasurer one day at the church where they attend. And the treasurer said, Nathan, this is talking to my son, he said, there was an IOU in the plate from your son. And it was signed by you. And our son, like maybe some of us, you know, were a little low on change one day or on cash, went to his son's piggy bank and borrowed some and put an IOU in. And his son, our grandson, said, you know what? That IOU is as good as cash. And he put it in the offering plate. And you know something? What Mary was saying is that the promise of God that had come to her is as good as cash. It's as good as gold. God keeps His promises, and He will never, ever fail. On Christmas morning, the Youth Development Center down the street here, which is a juvenile detention center, it's not jail, but it's getting there, trying to keep kids out of jail, has a Christmas breakfast every Christmas morning, because those kids can't get out. They got to stay there. And so Steve Collier and some others from our church and maybe some other churches, they traditionally get a meal together and a few other things, and they bring it over there to the Youth Development Center so that those kids can have a Christmas breakfast. And what a great thing it is. But you know something? Someone's got to open the door. Someone has got to open the door to let them in so that they can have breakfast, so that they can enjoy it, so that they can celebrate our Lord as well. And Jesus comes to us because Jesus did come. Jesus did fulfill the promise of God. And He says to all of us, He says, I'm knocking on the door. Won't you open the door so that I can come in and I can have breakfast and lunch and dinner with you and you with me today and tomorrow and for all of eternity? Because I'm good for my word and I keep my promises and the mercies of God last forever. Would you bow with me and we'll pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for coming. We are amazed at the mercy of God. You are such a great King, greater than any that we could imagine, that pardons all who come to You, because You paid the penalty for our sin. So Jesus, we come to You this morning. We're so grateful that You came. You came to die, but You rose that we might live with You. And so, Lord, may we enjoy Your presence today by opening the door to You today and throughout the season and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.